This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Retro Wrestling Review.
Oh yeah, welcome to Retro Wrestling Review. I am your first co-host, Troy Adam, hopping in the time-traveling wrestling ring with me here again today. He is my Mexican-born co-host, Santiago. What's up, man?
Hey, do me a favor.
What?
Never do that again.
What, the ooh yeah or the Mexican-born co-host?
Yeah, ooh yeah sounded like the sound Macho Man made when he wrecked.
Oh, we're starting off terrible. Why do you got to start off on a sour note? Save it for halfway through the show. You don't want to chase him off right away.
Because your ooh yeah was like terrible. It was like, ooh yeah.
You're well, like maybe I'm sitting on the...
You have to embrace the ooh yeah.
Well, maybe I'm sitting on the toilet right now. You don't know.
You shouldn't be. We're recording a podcast.
It's the best place. Better acoustics.
No, the acoustics are horrible in a bathroom.
That's true.
Motel rooms are ridiculously good for that.
Weird that you know that. But besides that, today we are talking about the Macho Man Randy Savage coming to Memphis in the CWA territory to take on Jerry the King Lawler. This is a continuation of Jerry Uwari, and that means we're going in hot with some steel cage action today. We've actually got, I found two steel cage matches between these two guys. One is from 1985 and the other is from 1993. The 1993 one, that would be, I believe, the USWA territory. But it's going to be fun to watch along with these because I don't know how much you know about the Memphis territory, Santi, but there's some interesting stuff to go along with it.
I know enough to know, like, it was, like you said, interesting, and there was like a lot going on, and Jerry kept it going. Like, it wasn't, even when Vince like pillaged and took everybody, like, Memphis was still kind of like a hotbed for wrestling. Nowadays, not so much.
Yeah, the Jerrys kept it going. Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett. They both kept Memphis alive for a long time. It was the last of the territories to die out, believe it or not. And it was because of Jerry Lawler and how huge he was in Memphis. And Jerry Jarrett, I mean, he knew how to book that territory along with Lawler, man. But
People sleep on Jerry Lawler and like what he's done for the business and how big of a star he really is. Like, I think the color commentary position hurts his legacy, like, on that front, because what's your earliest memory of Jerry Lawler?
Him shouting puppies.
Yeah, that was mine exactly too.
Yeah. So
a lot of people like our age, which we're 30, so like a lot of 30-year-olds, the millennial crowd, and like from then on, I just know him as the perv guy, the puppies guy, the guy that was getting choked out by Taz, or like the guy that had a heart attack at ringside. Like, they sleep on, I mean, and to me, like, the best match I ever seen of his was the ladder match with The Miz for the WWE title.
Yeah. Because that was a really good match. And he was older Miz, by that point.
Mitch. Miz wasn't that good. Like, he was polarizing, and it was something new, and WWE was trying it. And then we got mad at WWE for trying new stuff when we asked them to. But
I love that,
They put him in there with Jerry Lawler because Jerry can actually go. And it was an amazing match. And there was that brief second where you were like, oh my God, Jerry Lawler's about to win the WWE championship.
I really wanted him to.
Yeah. And it didn't happen, but that's just how good Jerry is. That's all that some people know. They don't know that he kept the territories alive, that for a little bit he was the territories. And, you know, when the Hogans, Mr. Perfects, and all those guys were gone, you know, he was the only one still out there doing his thing.
Yep, basically, yeah. And this feud we're going to talk about today was a big thing from the Randy Savage side, because a lot of people don't realize that Randy Savage really started off hot in the Memphis territory, but he didn't start off in Jerry Lawler's Memphis territory. Let me give a little backstory here. Savage worked for his father and or worked with his father and brother in Michigan, the Carolinas, Georgia, the Maritimes, and the Eastern Tennessee Territory run by Nick Gulas. But after a while, his father, Angelo Poffo, felt that his sons were not getting the pushes they deserved. So he started the, quote, Outlaw International Championship Wrestling, or ICW promotion, in the Mid-American states. Outlaw, for those of you that don't know, means they were outside of the NWA. The NWA was the governing body that protected everybody. The WWF was a part of it at one point, and then they kind of broke off to do their own thing because they wanted their own champion and all that in New York at all times.
The dumbest move they ever made. I'm sure that never paid off for them.
Oh, yeah. Where's the WWF now?
Yeah. What a bunch of mooks. Yeah. Toots Mont and that guy, Vincent Joseph McMahon. What a bunch of idiots. Yeah. Wasn't he Vincent Joseph McMahon?
No, it was Jay. You are correct on the letter, but I don't think it was Joseph. God, his name's Joseph now.
It's bothering you too, huh? He looks like a Joseph.
Yeah, I don't know. Vincent J. McMahon. It was Jesse. Or James. I'm sorry. It was James. Vincent James McMahon.
What kind of name is James? Says the guy whose first name and last name translates to James.
Vince J. McMahon's dad was Jess McMahon. That's where I was getting the Jess from. But anyway, ICW operated in Jerry Lawler's Continental Wrestling Association and Ron Fuller's Southeastern Championship Wrestling territories, and even managed to get several wrestlers to leave Southern and CWA to join ICW. This, among other issues, would result in a series of lawsuits between Poffo and other NWA-affiliated organizations in the late 1970s and early 80s. And here's where we get into this. Eventually, ICW disbanded, and Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo entered the Memphis scene, joining CWA, their former competitors.
You got that incorrect. I'm sorry, I had to correct you. It's Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Oh, hell.
He don't go around jumping for you to just call him Lanny.
I don't know how much he jumps anymore, but while there...
Gravity's heavier nowadays.
Yeah. While there, Savage feuded with Lawler over the AWA Southern Heavyweight Championship. He also teamed with Lanny to battle the Rock and Roll Express. This feud included a match on June 25th, 1984 in Memphis, where in storyline, Savage injured Ricky Morton by pile-driving him through the timekeeper's table, leading to the Express winning via disqualification.
That sounds like a Memphis thing.
Later in 1984, Savage turned babyface and allied with Lawler against Jimmy Hart's First Family Alliance, only to turn heel on Lawler again in early 1985 and resume their feud with him over the AWA Southern Heavyweight title. So that brings us to where we are with this first match. Lots of history here. There's more to dive into during the match itself. We'll keep you informed and occupied and all that good stuff, but... I don't know, man. I've been looking forward to this ever since I found out it was a thing a few months ago.
I think I've watched one of their cage matches. I'll see which one it is here in a little bit. It was on one of the Randy Savage DVDs.
Yeah. I'll have to go, cause I have that DVD. I'll have to go check that out later. See what's on there. It might be the second one we're going to watch, but ladies and gents, this first one is going to be Randy Savage versus Jerry Lawler steel cage match from 1985. We're going to take a quick break here, talk about some other great podcasts on the Big Heads Media Network and the No Please Don't Podcast Network. They are our network affiliates. And yeah, it's some good stuff besides this podcast right here. When we come back, we'll dive right into this first cage match for Jerry-uary.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Katus from a podcast called Sweet Connection. If I had to describe it, I'd say it's like overhearing a very weird conversation in a pub, with episode titles like, I got so drunk I headbutted a snake, you don't have to lose your foreskin to become a vicar, I didn't wee on your dog, did I? And men can actually train themselves to lactate. We sometimes do stupid things like down chili shots live on air.
Oh, you know what, that's not only is it horrifically, oh, that's real hot. Jason, don't do that. That is...
In the Would You Rather segment, I give my co-host a choice between two awful possibilities.
Get stabbed by Rudolph and survive, or stab Rudolph and kill him.
Very stressful job being, you know, front runner. So I reckon the stress got to him.
Yeah.
And the only way for him to get me out of the way is to shank me.
And in the Versus segment, I pit two people together in a fight to the death.
Frosty the Snowman versus Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. I think Ninja beats Snowman. I think he would tear out Frosty's carrot nose and stab him through the head with it.
If that sounds like the sort of thing you'd like to hear in your ear, then we're available on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or visit us at www.nopleasedontpodcast.com.
In the pits, 18 years of the most comprehensive motorsports racing coverage in the world, and featuring interviews with the top drivers and personalities in racing, Mario Andretti, Dick Bergeron, Chris Tavoda, and more.
All right, we're back, ladies and gents, and that means it's time for more Jerry-uary. And it's Jerry Lawler versus Randy Savage. The actual title of the video on YouTube is Randy Savage versus Jerry Lawler - Steel Cage Match. But you might want to click the link below because you never know what's going to come up with that. I do want to let you all know while you're all getting that ready. And we're at 1 minute exactly, by the way. Go to BHMProWrestling.com and you can click on our page right there, or you can go to NoPleaseDon'tPodcast.com/RRR, all that good stuff. And if you, you can listen to all the archives on there, and also go to Redbubble.com/people/RetroWrestling to get all of our merch. Have you checked it out at all, Santi?
I've seen a couple of the shirt designs on there.
Yeah, there's shirts, there's mugs, there's shower curtains, there's a bunch of stuff you can get on there. So, shower mats, tons of stuff. But yeah, more to come. But we got a lot on there already. But you got the match pulled up, Santi?
Yeah.
All right, 1 minute exactly. I'm gonna count down from 3 to 2 to 1. When I hit say play, everybody hit play. 3, 2, 1, play. Macho Man starting off on all fours.
Like somebody's mother, I know.
Good Lord. You notice anything special about the cage?
It hardly looks like a cage.
Well, it's like cross. It's not like chain link. It's like squares, and wow, Lawler just unloading on Savage in the corner.
It's like chicken wire.
Basically, it's basically like chicken wire, and it's almost like the Hell in a Cell kind of system where it's like it's not on the ring. Like, you can get out of the ring, you just can't get out of the cage. It's easier to climb, but I don't think climbing out is how they do it in Memphis. Savage is already trying to escape. Lawler's just been letting him freaking have it. And Macho, it's weird. I was reading up on how Macho Man got his name. He called himself Randy Savage because he used to be Randy Poffo after his father, Angelo. And they changed his name to Savage because they said somebody would... Oh, he just spit on Lawler. But they said Poffo wasn't a good enough name for a guy who wrestled like a savage. So he just called himself Randy Savage. And then
they called him that because of the beard and the hair.
I guess it was his wrestling style. They said he wrestled like a savage. And the reason he went with Macho Man as a nickname is because his mom, in like 1981 or something like that, said that, like, she, I guess she was like reading all the, like, the hip magazines and stuff, and predicted that Macho Man would be the hot phrase moving forward in the 80s.
Wasn't that before the song Macho Man came out?
Probably.
If Macho Man Randy Savage never came out to the song Macho Macho Man, he wasted his entire life.
I think he always, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure he always came out to the graduation, like, Pomp and Circumstance song.
I feel like he just missed the huge opportunity.
That song does not fit him at all.
But he's a macho man, and it's a song about macho men.
It is, that's true. And he's just wrenching on that. Like, you know, we could say rest hold right here, but he's wrenching on that freaking headlock on Lawler.
Yeah, he's working on Jerry's bowl cut.
Oh, brother, how dare you get a haircut like that in my presence, brother? Oh, it just makes my blood boil.
Lawler never was known for having good haircuts.
I don't think he's ever known a good barber.
With as much as him being like Mr. Memphis and everything, you'd think he would know where to go and where not to go to get a haircut. Maybe he's cheap and just always went to the same barber every week to charge him $5.
That's why he's rich to this day.
Yeah. Those boots are almost like cowboy boots.
Jerry is what we call in my neck of the woods, posh rich. You thought I was going to say something else.
Yeah. Macho Man's face didn't come anywhere close to that cage, but he's selling like he just like got blasted.
Oh, there's a gap between the cage?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like
pretty much a hell in a cell. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You can get out of the cage or out of the ring, not out of the cage. Oh, he's reaching in tight, pulling out his junk, brother.
Oh, brother, I'm about to hit you with my gimmick upside the head, brother.
I wouldn't want to get hit by the gimmick of a guy named Macho Man. I'll say that.
First, I'm gonna give you the gimmick in the chin, then I'm gonna go in the back and I'm gonna give it to Elizabeth. Oh, yeah, nothing.
Got nothing. He stuffed it back under his junk. The ref had him show him.
He's like, "What are you gonna do? Are you gonna grab my little Randy? I'm gonna go savage on you and snap into you. You don't have the balls, ref. And if you need some, there's some right in there."
There was a thing, Eric Bischoff, it just like made me pop, because on his podcast, which we're not going to plug, he was kind of doing commentary for his own match against Larry Zbysko. And in the match, Scott Hall was Eric's second on the outside, and he pulled out a steel plate, quote unquote, from his tights and stuffed it under the kick pad of Eric Bischoff. So when he kicked Zbysko in the head, it was like metal to head. And when Scott reached into his tights, Eric's like doing commentary. He's like, "Oh, he's going to pull out his junk. Oh, wait, no, it's a steel plate." Like, well, I might have popped. I mean, it would have been gross, but I would have laughed my ass off if Scott Hall just in the middle of Nitro whipped out his junk in the middle of a match and everybody just stopped. It's like, what are you doing? Speaking of what are you doing, that guy in the front row there is like bursting through his button-up shirt.
The guy with the picture that he's trying to get signed?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he'll get it signed during this cage match.
Right. He hasn't accepted the fact that he needs to upgrade to a bigger shirt size. That's all I'm saying. I was going to, through this match, I was going to kind of tell you guys a little bit more about ICW from Kentucky Fried Wrestling. They said the ICW star's most scathing shoot comments were reserved for promoter Jerry Jarrett and his boys. Instead of building up their talent and airing promos related to upcoming cards, the ICW's Bob Roop, Ronnie Garvin, Bob Orton Jr., and especially Randy Savage usually used their interview time to blast Memphis stars Jerry Lawler Tojo Yamamoto, Bill Dundee, and Dream Machine repeedly. I thought Randy had something in his hands there for a second. Challenging them to fights, Savage exposed Tojo Yamamoto as Harold Watanabe. That was his real name. I'm sure that would have got over huge. During one promo, while Bob Orton revealed the identity of the Dream Machine as Troy Graham. Bob Roop, a legit badass, threatened to stretch Lawler, while Savage continually goaded, quote, Jerry the Queen Lawler. The guy from Kentucky Fried Wrestling said, to me, they came off as a bunch of badass renegades. ICW even placed newspaper ads challenging Lawler and Dundee to a show, or to show up on ICW cards to face Roop, offering thousands of dollars if they could last 5 or 10 minutes with the former amateur star. Wisely, the King and Superstar followed the advice of Jarrett and ignored these threats, despite the fact that they would have to risk a turkey and a chicken versus $5,000 of the miser's money. So, lots of bad blood between these two. Speaking of bad blood, Savage just hammering away, trying to get some red.
Oh, that cage is
flimsy as hell. It's being held together. Oh, dropped to the outside, which was not very common back in the day.
Randy was going to do something else. And then he grabbed a hold of that cage and he's like, no, brother, I'm not doing that.
With as much money as that territory would rake in on a weekly basis, you'd think they could afford something better besides just, you know, all the chicken wire cage tied up with just like flimsy rope. Did the match just skip a little bit?
Yeah.
What the hell? That's Memphis for you, ladies and gents. This match actually hasn't been too bad. They used the cage a couple times. They haven't overused it or underused it, I don't think. Savage beating the tar out of Lawler here. What have you thought of this so far?
I expected more. That cage is just unsettling.
Yeah. Savage keeps throwing Lawler to the outside and then going to the top rope. Oh, he's biting him. He's biting Lawler. But he'll go up to the top rope and drop a double axe handle on him. He did that a few times.
Like, when you watch a cage match, you realize that they're surrounded in a cage. So the cage is a weapon, and you can use the cage to your advantage. You can't use this cage.
Well, they are. They're trying. Savage is slamming Lawler's head into the part of the cage where they tie it together. So it's the hardest part of the cage.
There is nothing hard about this cage. The only thing hard was putting it together and holding it up.
Can you imagine how long it must have taken? And there's Savage going headfirst into the steel separator, and the strap is coming down. Show off them titties, Lawler. He's trying. Lawler's letting him have it with the rights and the lefts, and the lefts and the rights. Clunk. And, oh my good lord. He flew over the top rope face first into the cage. And who's that SOB climbing the side of the cage? Is it a fan?
No, he's wearing tights.
So it could be a fan. It is Tennessee. Off the... What the...
How is there a disqualification in a cage match?
What is this, WWE? My word. Who? I'm seriously curious as to who this guy is.
He said LaDuke.
Oh, Joe LaDuke. Okay. Sorry, I'm unable to have my sound on my end. Otherwise, you all would hear it, and we might get sued. Or at least flagged.
Ooh, that cage is horrible.
Ooh, yeah, it's bowing constantly. Is LaDuke bleeding, or is that just... No, it's the way the light's shining off his head. You need a white balance there. Or, you know, I think he is bleeding.
He just got in there.
He hasn't even gotten touched. Savage going to the top. Man, those ropes are flimsy, too. They need to tighten the ropes up. Elbow! You're just... Man, they're letting Lawler have it. Does Lawler have no friends? What a screwed finish. And Savage is, like, pinning him while LeDuc keeps dropping repeated leg drops on his chest. Joe LeDuc was a famous, like, madman from the territories.
I was almost going to say it looks like George the Animal Steel. The cage door magically works.
Yeah, right? And who are these? Who are these guys? All wearing sweaters. Waller's friends, fans, family? I don't know.
His cousins, it's Steve Lawler.
Well, it could be all of the above.
Keith Lawler
in Tennessee.
And Brian Christopher Lawler. Those are his kids, and I guess Steve Lawler's his cousin.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, that was match number one, ladies and gents. The ending was screwed. Match itself was, I mean, it wasn't one of the greatest things I've ever seen, but it was pretty good. I don't know. I didn't hate it. We'll have to see what the next one is like. This next one is from the year 1993 in, I believe, the USWA, which is what the Memphis Territory turned into after a while. This one, it was USWA. And in 1993, I mean, Savage was a big established star, multi-time world champion by this time. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got one more match. We're wrapping up Jerry Uwari on the other side of this break.
You've heard others, but nothing could prepare you for the shameful stupidity that is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Hear Imran.
So if you offend everyone at once, it's a wash. I've covered everybody.
Anthony.
Sorry, I was texting. Say that again.
And Rug Boy.
Yeah, whenever there's a snowstorm, my slack hole tightens up.
As they talk over one another.
Just exactly the same as
Terminator.
We're talking over each other. It's fine.
Sorry.
Swear.
I had boobies.
And ask you for money.
Just give us the money.
Witness the hubris as they claim to be the world's authority on comic book movies.
Who's that?
Never said that. You've never said that.
Who cares? A jock said that.
Comic book, TV, movie reviews, news, and whatever they choose. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
It's campy, silly, goofy fun.
Seriously, people really listen to this.
Jock and Nerd!
The Instigator Podcast is the best source for Buffalo Sabres and NHL-focused discussion. Join us each week as we break down everything surrounding the Buffalo Sabres, the latest news from around the NHL, and feature select interviews with notable personalities from the hockey world. The Instigator Podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else podcasts can be found. And we look forward to having you tune in for our next episode.
All right, we're back, and that means we got one more match to go here on the podcast, and it is one more steel cage match between Jerry Lawler and the Macho Man Randy Savage, this time from the year 1993, almost 10 years later after that last one we watched. All right, you've got this one pulled up, Santi?
Yep.
All right, for those of you that want to watch along, it's Jerry Lawler versus Randy Savage. In parentheses, it says Memphis Cage Match 1993. We're starting at 40 seconds exactly. If you have to pause the podcast to get there, do so, or you can click the link below and go to 40 seconds. That always works. All right. I'm going to count down from 3 to 2 to 1 and hit play. When I say play, we all hit play. 3, 2, 1, play. The Holy crap, look at what Lawler is wearing.
Shades of Dusty Rhodes.
Those are checkers. He's got checkered tights and a lime green singlet.
Those are checkers. It looked like dots.
It could be either or. I can't. The video quality is terrible. So put it on a poll, bro. What do you guys think it is? Either way, it's hideous. I think it is. It might be polka dots. Yeah, it looked like checkers at first. That's an actual cage, Santi. How about that?
That's a hell of a cell.
Without a roof, yeah. It's basically Hell in a Cell without a roof. Lawler's shoving Savage's face into it. It's amazing what they can buy within 8 years. And ramming Savage into the other side. You know, Savage had to deal with these kind of cages a lot. In WWF, that was the only time he didn't have to. Because in WCW, there was a match. It was Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper at Halloween Havoc. I want to say 96. And it was a cage match that Savage came down and got involved with. And the cage was like this. But it wasn't. It was like big squares, like the Thunderdome cage. Uh-oh. No, he was going to crotch him and thought better of it.
He almost damaged his
little Randy.
His little Randy.
Lawler can't go for the junk. He's the good guy. Oh, who didn't see that one coming? He punched the ring post.
I hope his hand's okay.
That's his punching hand. Savage moved at the last second.
Oh, Macho's turning it on now.
Yep.
There's a lot. Okay, I was about to say there's a lot less cage slamming than I thought there'd be for them being outside by the cage.
They're actually getting some cage work in here early, which they didn't do last time. Randy's going up top already. He's like, I don't know if I can balance up here.
Those ropes. And
Memphis ropes. Yeah, they don't look that safe. Unos, dos, no, in the ropes. Why is a rope break in a cage match?
Why was there in Memphis? I have a cousin that's from Memphis, and they have a phrase they say a lot. That's Memphis as fuck.
What the hell?
So that's what we're looking at right now.
Good grief.
Like, anytime Jerry does something questionable, I'm just going to say it.
Well, that referee, by the way, something else says Memphis is F. That referee, besides the fact that he's just an oddly built man, he counts at half the speed of smell. He's worse than that Pepe the Mexican ref we were complaining about before. And why? There's a chair out there.
You better not use that. There's rules in these here cage matches.
He's choking him. He's choking him. 2, 3. We're going to disqualify you in a cage match, Randy. He didn't break it, but the ref stopped his count. See, everything got upgraded in Memphis. The referee. The referee is the only thing that didn't get upgraded since the last video.
The referee needs to do a 3 count on himself because that bow tie is choking him.
Yeah, he's going to go to the back and have a heart attack right after this. But in the last video, to keep the fans back, they had a nylon rope. This time, they have actual steel barricades. Who picked out that outfit for Lawler? That's all I want to know. Macho's cutting a promo right into the camera. Man. Is Macho Man a heel here? Well, I don't...
Aren't they in Memphis? Oh,
no. They are.
So that would mean Macho would be the heel, but Jerry was doing heel stuff, so it's I don't even think they know what's what.
Jerry could have been heel or face. You can't tell. Oh no, now he's gonna crotch. He's gonna crotch Jerry. Oh no.
Not as tiny.
Oh,
not as Lawler's.
What the hell? On again, twice in a row. That's both.
Out there, there's a girl that hasn't even, her parents haven't even met yet. She'll never have a chance at Jerry.
Good Lord. Oh, yes, she will.
Jerry Lawler's wife is like 8 years younger than us. Oh, not eight. She's probably like five now.
Yeah. She's a youngin'.
She was like 21 when they, like a couple years ago.
Have you ever heard of Doug Gilbert, the son or the brother of Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert?
Yeah, I think I saw a match with them. What did he do? Okay.
He's not, I think he's passed away, so I don't want to like speak ill of the dead, but it's not like I'm, you know, making stuff up here. It's like I saw video footage of it, so it's real. He never lived up to, you know, Eddie or anything like that, but he always had a job because of his last name. And Jerry Lawler helped get him booked in the 1995, 96 Royal Rumble, I think 96. And he showed up late, like right before match time, basically. So that's how he repaid Jerry. And on an episode of USWA TV, he's cutting a promo on Jerry Lawler. And he said, Jerry Lawler, you raped a 13-year-old girl. Ha ha ha.
That was disproven.
Yeah, yeah. Just put this out there. He did not rape a 13-year-old girl. So that's we are not saying that. That is what Doug Gilbert said on an episode of USWA Live. So
that's like saying Pat Patterson did that stuff to that ring boy.
Oh, good Lord! Yeah, it's not good, people. Savage is this. Pounding away at Lawler.
Don't touch kids, is what we're saying.
There was a controversy here in Cincinnati a while back about whether or not Pete Rose was sleeping with underage women back in the day. He's giving the fingers up and axe handle.
Down goes Lawler. I feel like jumping off the top rope and doing an axe handle
too
is no different than doing a running axe handle.
I don't know. It might have more effect. I have no idea. It looks more impressive. Macho's pissed off because the referee said his foot was on the rope. Got to break the count or the pin, whatever. Lawler's been literally losing in a fist fight here to Macho Man, which Lawler doesn't lose fist fights. I don't know if anybody knows that. Getting stomped away at.
Jerry's spending a lot of time outside of the ring. Another axe handle. That something's up because like this match is kind of like halfway phoned in.
Yeah, I don't like Lawler's just been getting his dick kicked in the dirt this whole match, except for like the first 5 minutes. Macho's just been like cleaning house with him. Now he's rubbing Lawler's face against the cage. My. I don't have my audio turned on, so I can't tell, but I'm wondering if Lance Russell still did the commentary for USWA.
He didn't really, like, run his face across the cage as much as he just, like, pressed it up there. Yeah, it's like,
oh, yeah, brother, take that. I bet that hurts, Jerry. Don't it hurt? If it doesn't hurt, smell at least I know it's a little bit uncomfortable.
This was right before Lawler went, you know, hell froze over and Lawler went to WWF, by the way. And there's a punch to the gut. Lawler's fighting back. He's firing back on all cylinders.
Oh, I swear to God, Jerry, when I get up, oh, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to make you feel slightly uncomfortable.
What the crap?
That kind of uncomfortability where you're just kind of, ooh, but you don't know what to feel, and it feels bad, brother. Yeah.
There's this comedian. Lord. There's this comedian that told a joke about, like, what if hell isn't like what we think hell is? It's just, like, uncomfortable. Oh, the little Randys go into the ring post finally. They've been teasing it since the opening bell, and there you go. You know, we talked before about how great Lawler's punches are, like his work punches. Savage had some pretty good looking punches, man. I don't know how many of them were live rounds, but they look good.
No, his trunks or his tights say, oh yeah.
Yeah, he's got oh yeah like all over his outfit.
That sucks that WWE made him change his gimmick. Oh god.
Another one? Who's that now? Is that a woman?
Some lady.
And wearing all black.
Sherry Martel. Sherry.
Sexy Sherry. She was covered from head to toe in like a black outfit. I was going to make a
burka
joke, but yeah. But oh, she stopped the pile driver.
You know,
she
again
clobbered him. Did he call for the bell?
That's Memphis's fuck.
She just kicked him in the face.
Sherry's getting the most believable offense in this entire match.
Yeah, because it probably is real. I heard she can off if she wants to. She looked, when she was walking around, she looked, and I'm not casting aspersions, I'm just talking about the way it looked while she was walking around. She looked inebriated. Uh-oh. Is she going to go for the little Lawlers? Not again. Oh,
not the Jerrys.
Oh, that's three. That's Trace.
Sherry Martel can get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, not anymore. She's dead. But, yeah, back then.
Oh, no. It's no shame. She can still get it.
What the hell? Macho Man's thong is showing. Still doing a beatdown. Why?
All this action during the actual match? A little bit of whale tail action right there. I didn't know we were near the coast.
Right. Well, he does.
Even the ref gets
Florida. You know, the ref got taken down with a vicious right hand. Is she making out with him or biting him? I can't tell.
Either way, it's hot.
Yeah. She's just like scratching him and rubbing his face into her.
Jerry starts feeling up her back, and she's like, "What are you doing? Sorry, bad habit."
Oh, there's four.
Not the Jerrys.
You guys have already crushed them. That was a terrible high five.
There's a slew of college-age women that are hurting right now.
College-aged?
Yeah, Jerry picks him at the age of 20. Oh.
Clocked it. Jerry moved, and she clocked Macho right in the face.
Okay. Jerry would never hit a woman.
He's mouthing you. I'm not going to say the B word.
You.
Yeah.
That's Memphis's fault too. Talking all Southern. You rascal, you. Come here. Whoa, that's Memphis.
He ripped her dress off.
What, I wish she was wearing Macho Man Randy Savage's thong. And that, of course, the match would end there.
Yeah. We don't get
right the when conclusion. The action's eaten up.
Right. That's...
That's Memphis's.
Yeah, that's something, man. Well, that happened, and we sat and we let it happen.
We didn't really have options, Troy.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, that was the conclusion of Jerry Uwari, two cage matches with him and the Macho Man Randy Savage. You listen up, Dingleberry. But next week, we are wrapping up the month of January. We're going to Japan. Got to get some Japanese action in there. We're going to cover a six-star match, according to Uncle Dave Meltzer. We're going to cover Kawada versus Mizawa from 1994 in Japan. I'm trying to find the exact details of it here. Give me. We're going to cover Toshiaki Kawada versus Mitsuharu Mizawa, June 3rd, 1994. It was a six-star match in All Japan Pro Wrestling at Budokan Hall, the Budokan Hall show of 1994, actually. Should be good. I don't think we've reviewed a six-star match on the show before.
No, I don't think so.
That'll be interesting to see. But, you know, if you haven't got your fill yet of Jerry Lawler, well, I've got some good news for y'all. Next, the week after January 27th, that's our Kawada Mizawa match. February 3rd, we're starting. It's Ric Flair's birthday month, so we're going to go with Flairuary, I guess. Is that what you want to call it?
Yeah, I mean, don't really have too many options.
Yeah, Flair February. It's February is Ric Flair's birthday month. So on February 3rd, we're covering the time that Ric Flair came to Memphis, baby, and took on Jerry the King Lawler on February
of Memphis.
The women of Memphis that were not with Jerry were definitely on with Space Mountain that night.
They were down at the Double Tree, room 423.
Yeah, we'll be rocking and rolling all night long.
Woo! And there was phone calls coming in all night to that hotel room. And every time Tully would answer, and he would say, "No, your wife can't come to the phone right now. She's busy."
Good Lord. And Jerry Lawler was doing his best Matthew McConaughey impression, where he went, "One thing I like about high school girls, I keep getting older, they stay the same age." But February 10th, we're going to Puerto Rico for Ric Flair in Puerto Rico. February 17th, you and I are going to review Ric Flair versus Antonio Inoki, and it's also for Inoki's birthday. It's the Collision in Korea show. That is not on the WWE network because it's WCW and New Japan, so it's co-owned by New Japan. And then finally, we're wrapping up February with, on February 24th, it's Ric Flair in Japan. We've got some good options there that we need to discuss what's going on. But yeah, so that's what's coming up on the show. Again, to listen to the archives, go to nopleasedontpodcast.com/RRR or bhmprowrestling.com. Click on our link. You'll see the logo for the show. And also check out Podcast Wrestling Society, my other wrestling podcast. Got some good stuff coming up. Doing lots of Royal Rumble reviews this month. And check out El Chivo and Local Trash. Does that about cover everything, Santi?
Yes. You also forgot one thing.
What? Oh, Cinemarks?
No, I've... Well, yeah, you did. I was trying to come up with something clever to say, but yeah.
Okay, Cinemark. Well, I'll cover it up with Cinemarks. Cinemarks, that's CINEMARKS, Cinemarks, like the theater, but with a dash and an S at the end. We are reviewing The Office this month. Not really reviewing it, but having like an in-depth discussion about The Office as a whole. So if you're a fan of The Office or not a fan of The Office, check it out. Some good stuff on there. And next month, we're still trying to come up with what we're going to do for February, but it's going to be something good. We got some good options. But all right, anything else we need to cover or time to sign off?
No, I think we got it all covered.
All right, well then let's get the hell out of Memphis. We'll see you all next week when we head to Japan for a six-star matchup later on.